God is good. I was thinking, again, what aspect of prayer could I share this morning? Our theme has been on prayer, and there are many prayers in the Bible. There are many people who prayed, men, women, all good, wonderful prayers. And good for us to know these stories about how God hears and answers prayer. Do you know God hears us when we pray? That's why we pray. If God doesn't hear us, why pray? If God doesn't answer, why pray? But God has promised to hear our prayers and to answer. You know, throughout the week, I've heard the boys a little bit talking about maybe their favorite basketball teams or who's the better basketball player. And kids like a challenge, right? Like, I was better than you guys in softball, even though, you
know. No, we're not going to talk about that.
You know, and that's the way we are as kids, right? I can hit the ball further than you, and I can do this or I'm that. And we like a challenge. Who's the best tetherball player in the building? Let me see. Best tetherball player? Yeah, oh, okay. All right, at least we got, we'll see. Well, you guys hook up, the two of you who think you're the best. We'll see who's the best, all right?
Not today.
No, not on Sunday. You're right. Well, in the Bible, there was a challenge that was much more important than the challenge about who's better on the basketball court. In the Old Testament, there was a prophet. His name was Elijah. And there was a king whose name was Ahab. And Ahab and his wife Jezebel were wicked. And they had turned the people of God away from the true God. And they were worshiping Baal, a false god. And God said, it's enough. He told Elijah, I want you to go to Ahab and tell him it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. We could use Elijah this morning. No more rain. We've had enough rain this season. But he said, you go and you tell Ahab, because of your sin, no rain for 3.5 years. The Bible tells us in the book of James. It's interesting that of all the men in the Bible, or the women that James could have picked to be an example of prayer, he picks Elijah. Elijah, and he says, Elijah was a man just like you and me. He was no superhero, but he knew how to pray. And he prayed, it says, and for 3.5 years there was no rain. No rain. After 3.5 years, well, King Ahab had been looking for Elijah for a long time. Finally, he shows up. God says it's time. And he brings to Ahab and to the people of Israel a challenge. And if you have your Bibles and you want to open to it, it's in 1 Kings chapter 18. I'll give you a minute to find that. 1 Kings chapter 18. And we don't have time to read the whole chapter, but beginning at verse 16, we find how Elijah shows himself or meets up with Ahab. All right, when you find it, look up so you know. I know I can keep going. Got it? 1 Kings 18? Okay. Verse 16 says, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to see Elijah. When Ahab saw Elijah, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? Wow, he was picking a fight, right? You're the one, Ahab, I mean, Elijah, you're the one who's prayed and you've troubled Israel. And Elijah responds and says, I have not made trouble for Israel, but you and your father have. Your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commandments and had followed the Baals. But now Elijah has a challenge. He says, now, summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So here we have it. How many prophets of God? How many?
One.
How many prophets of Baal? 450 and another 400 of that. That makes, if I do my math right, that's 450 plus 400 is how much? 850. I better go over to the cottage. 850 to 1, all right? You think Elijah was afraid?
No.
No, why? Why was not Elijah afraid? Because God was on his side. God had sent them. Young people, you don't have to be afraid because God is with you. God is on your side. You might be outnumbered. But if God be for us, who can be against us? And so here's the question that he asks them now. Verse 21. Elijah went before the people. Now they were all assembled together on Mount Carmel. You see this great company, right? Much more than here, but they're all assembled. And Elijah says to them, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." I just want to say this. I believe that the famine or the drought and the famine that resulted was, yes, a measure of God's judgment upon Ahab and his people. But you see, God is not out to destroy his people. He didn't want to wipe them out. He had a purpose in allowing that rain to cease. And the purpose was that they would return to God. Do you understand that? You know, sometimes God allows things to come into our lives to kind of wake us up. He doesn't want to destroy us, but he wants us to truly return to him with all our hearts. You know, I think this is a picture in some ways of, I dare say, the church. I said, "Brother Phil, wait. What are you saying?" What I'm saying is this. You know, again, I started this meeting, I got ahead of myself a little bit. I was trying to save that, but it just came out. Because I think sometimes we look outside the church, you know, we look out the world and we complain about this is going on in our society. How could they allow this in our schools? How could they do this and that? And yes, I understand that. But the Bible teaches us that it needs to begin in the church. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. And that verse, you know, sometimes we pull it out of context. I mean, it's good out of context. But in its context, it was in God's response to Solomon's prayer when he said, "If we sin and you hold back the rain, but then if you seek my face, I'll send the rain again." That's the context. If my people who are called by my name. Beloved, we need the rain. We need the rain. The church of God needs the rain of the Holy Spirit. We need it to open the heavens. But it's up to us, as the people of God, to turn to him. And so he says, "Why are you wavering?" You see, Baal to me is everything that's contrary, that opposes the reign of Christ. Who's the Lord of your life? Who's king? Who's in charge? Is it Jesus or is it Baal? It's Jesus, yes. That's the right answer. Jesus. Amen. He wants to be our king, you see. But we hold between two, waver. We hold between two opinions. We want as much as the world as we can have and still be Christians. And so the people of God were challenged this day. Who are you going to serve? You know, I'm reminded of Joshua. What was Joshua's challenge? Or how did Joshua respond to that, Adrian? Did he say, "As for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord." As for me and my house. Parents here this morning, is that your commitment? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How is it that our children are going to follow in our footsteps or follow in this way? How is it that they're going to follow after God? We have to set the example. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That decision needs to be made. And see, this people, when he said that to them, "Why halt you between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." And what does it say? The people said nothing. No response. And so God had to move and work. And so it's amazing. Now we don't have, or maybe I do have time. So right now. All right. I know we have to let the waitress staff go in a minute. But so if they get up and leave, it's okay. You want to go now? Okay. God bless you. We appreciate your service to us. We really do.
Bye, Cleveland.
Hallelujah. And so without reading it together, you know how they built, he challenged them. Now you build your altar. He challenged those priests of Baal. He said, you build your altar and you bring your sacrifice. And the God who answers by fire, he is the true God. And then the people answered and said, okay, that's a good deal. We'll go along with that. And so that's what they did. The prophets of Baal, they built their altar. They sacrificed their animal and nothing happened. They called out to their God. Do you think he heard them? No, he didn't hear them. Because their God was not real. So they cried out, it says, almost for the whole day. And Elijah said, well, maybe you need to cry a little louder because he's probably sleeping. Or maybe he's out for lunch. And they kept at it. Finally, they had to give up. But let's pick up the story in verse 30. It says in verse 29, as far as Baal is concerned, there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Verse 30, then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Now, I don't know the exact history of that, but it seems that there was an altar erected on that mountain to God. But somehow that altar had fallen into ruin, disrepair. Now, what does the altar signify for us? Well, that's the place of worship, isn't it? That's the place of sacrifice. That's the place where we meet our God. And what had happened? That altar had become in disrepair, it had fallen into ruin. It had been neglected. And beloved, if we neglect worship, if we neglect prayer, if we neglect our relationship with God, then we need to repent. And we need to rebuild the altar. Rebuild the altar. And so he got the people together and they brought 12 stones together, each one for each of the tribes. And he built an altar, verse 32, in the name of the Lord. And he dug a trench about it large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Now let me ask you this. How many of you have tried to start a fire with wet wood? You've tried, right? How successful have you been? Not very good, right? It's almost impossible. I would say it's impossible to start a fire with wet wood. You need something dry. So why in the world, if Elijah really wants to win this challenge, why is he pouring water on the sacrifice? I don't know. And not only did he do it once, he did it 3 times. I think he wanted the people to know that what was about to take place could be God and God only. It was impossible, seemingly impossible, that this sacrifice now would catch on fire. Verse 36, at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God. And now look at this last phrase. And that you are turning their hearts back again. You see, that's what God desired. He just wanted his people to come back to him. And So he had sent Elijah. And yes, there were 3 years of drought and famine, of difficulty, of hardship. But now God was opening his arms again and said, I want you back. And Elijah prays that prayer. And how does God answer? How does God answer? Then, verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. A complete answer by fire. No doubt that it was from God. And how did the people respond? What would you have done if that had happened? What did you have done? You're like, whoa! Well, they fell down on their faces and they cried, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And so I just leave that challenge with us, all of us, children, young people, adults, myself. I don't want to halt between two opinions. I don't want to waver. As Christians, now is the time for us to take our stand. The world needs to know that there's a real God, that there's a true God, that He lives, and that He lives in you, He lives in me. He's the God that answers by fire. He's the God that desires to send the Holy Ghost down upon our lives and to make our lives witnesses to the fact that here is a God who loves us, who gave Himself for us. A God who gives, as we heard, purpose. I like that. I heard that in my wife's testimony and yours about purpose. We need to teach our children that there's a purpose for them being here. God made them. God knit them together in their mother's womb with purpose. They're not here by chance. It's not an accident. God made each one of you with a plan and purpose because He loves you. Just like He laid His hand upon Brother Gary, He can lay His hand upon you. What will God do with you? What will God do with you? If you just give yourself to God. Just open your heart. And so I just want to challenge each one of us. Let it be all for Jesus. Can we make that commitment this morning? All for Jesus? All for Jesus? Yes? All for Jesus? In our homes, all for Jesus. In our churches, all for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Each one of us can just ask the Lord, Lord, You speak to my own heart. You speak to me. We want to respond in faith to our God. Put our will wholly on His side. Lord Jesus, take us. Take us this morning. You make us what You want us to be. Lord, we confess, first of all, that we need You. We need You, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, where we have allowed other things to maybe reign in our hearts, where You want to reign. Jesus, You want to be our King. You want to be our Lord. So forgive us, Lord, when we go our own way. We pursue things that are not for Your kingdom. I pray for, first of all, for these cottagers that are here. Lord, I thank You for the precious work that You have in each of their hearts. God, continue to make Yourself real and precious to them. Lord, I know that You can do that. That they would be spoiled for this world and the things in this world, that they would have a love for You and Your word. And thank You for those in the village, Lord. I again pray that You would keep them. Lord, You know those who maybe already are entangled in the things of this world. Lord, I pray that You would set them free. Lord Jesus, help them to see their need of you and to cry out to you in these days. You've given them an opportunity, Lord, here at camp to find you. And so, God, I pray that they truly would find you as their Savior and as their Lord. I pray for all of us adults that are here, parents, and I pray that you'd help us to walk before you, dear God, in a way that our children can safely follow. Oh, God, God, that they would see it's that God is real because he lives in us. Make us the blessing that you've called us to be. Lord, send the fire upon our hearts, I pray. Oh, we need the Holy Ghost. Send the fire, dear God. Send the fire. Oh, God. God, a work from heaven. Oh, Jesus, how we need you. How we need you. And so we just commit ourselves to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you have worked among us this morning. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We do have the white books out. Let's sing together Nothing Less Than Full Surrender. Nothing Less in the white book, not in the green book, in the white book. Number 76. Number 76 in the white book. Let's stand as we sing. Number 76.
To the Christ who died to save you gave his all that you might live. Do not bring in consecration less than all you have to give. Nothing less than full surrender. Nothing less than yielding all. Nothing less than gladly saying, here am I at Jesus' call, giving body, soul, and spirit for the Master to possess, working out his will and purpose. Offer Jesus nothing less. Let no things of earth allure you from the way the Lord would lead. Let your life in him be hidden, him exalt in word and deed. Nothing less than full surrender, nothing less than yielding all, nothing less than gladly saying, here am I at Jesus' call, giving body, soul, and spirit for the Master to possess, working out his will and purpose. Offer Jesus nothing less. Nothing, nothing than withholding, let him rule your heart and life. Let your bodies be presented as a living sacrifice, nothing less than full surrender, nothing less than yielding all, nothing less than gladly saying, here am I at Jesus' call, giving body, soul, and spirit for desert to possess, working out his will and purpose, offer Jesus nothing less, nothing less than full surrender, nothing less than yielding all, nothing less than gladly saying, here am I at Jesus' call, giving body, soul, and spirit for the Master to possess, working out his will and purpose, offer Jesus nothing less.
Hallelujah. Brother Bob. Brother Bob Pedfield, would you pray with us, please?
Yes. Lord, we just want to give you thanks for your multiplied blessings that you poured into our hearts in this meeting this morning. And Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to remember all of these things that we have heard and experienced from your precious Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we just, as an adult here this morning, want to pray for every one of these young men.
Yes, Lord.
Who were here this morning and these precious cottagers.
Yes.
Dear Lord, we just agree together that you will do your full,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Work of salvation in every one.
Yes.
Lord, we want to trust you and believe you that not one would be lost over to the enemy of our souls. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Just real briefly, just two announcements. First thing, our dinner bell will be at 12:30. That'll be the only bell, okay? 12:30 is dinner at the palace. If you'd like to stay, the second announcement, if you'd like to stay for dinner, if you're a guest from off grounds, please see Sister Elsie. So Elsie's right here, and you can make arrangements with her. We do have room, and we'd love to have you to stay if you could, all right? God bless you. We have a prayer meeting today at 4 o'clock in the lodge, all right? If you'd like to join us, those guests. Prayer at 4 o'clock.